name of Jesus, the King of glory and the Lamb of God. Amen. Dear beloved in Christ, today hear the words of John and Jesus during Advent. John is the voice from God, the forerunner. Jesus is the Lamb of God, the King and the Messiah. Jesus says it himself. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. How many parents have said these words to their children? Are you listening to me? Look at me when I'm talking to you. Are you hearing what I am saying? Jesus says something similar today. Are you listening to me? When we listen to the word of the Lord, you listen with your ears and with your mind and with your heart. That is what it means to truly listen. So with your ears and mind and heart, listen to John the Baptist and his work of repentance. Listen to Jesus the Christ and his work of saving. Have faith in him. And remain steadfast in your faith and blessedness. So, hear the word of God, Holy Scripture today. First of all, concerning John the Baptist and his work, his call for us to repent. Now, this is the third Sunday in Advent. As the vicar explained to the children, it's the pink or rose candle, the shepherd's candle, the joy candle, because this is also called in Latin, Gaudete Sunday, rejoice in the shepherd. And John the Baptist rejoiced and leapt in the womb of Elizabeth when Elizabeth and Mary greeted one another. The first time they met was when John was in Elizabeth's womb, and Jesus was in Mary's womb. John was the son of the high priest, son of Zechariah the priest. They conceived in their old age. The same angel Gabriel who told Zechariah that they would have John the Baptist is the one that told Mary that she as a virgin would bear the Christ. Elizabeth and Mary were related somehow, so John the Baptist and Jesus were related. And he was about 6 months older than Jesus and went to the Jordan River and proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And why is he in prison? Because he condemned Herod the king, who married his sister-in-law, took her as his wife. And he severely condemned Herod. And so Herod threw him in prison. And you know the rest of the story. Eventually, he beheaded John. And as one pastor friend of mine said, John would end up giving his head for the head of the church, Jesus. It is this John, who is the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, who is in prison, who now sends his disciples outside of prison to ask Jesus if he is the one who is to come, or should they seek another. John was the one who had been in the wilderness. You remember he wore a camel hair coat. He ate locusts and wild honey. He was a fearless preacher of God's word and God's law. Jesus speaks about him. He was not a reed shaking in the wind. He was not a man dressed in soft clothing like a king. He was a prophet. He was more than a prophet. He was foretold by Isaiah and Malachi 700 years ahead of time. He's the only specific person, apart from Christ, who is foretold in the Old Testament. He is the messenger to go before the face of the Messiah, the one who prepares the way for Jesus Christ. This fearless man who called all to repentance, the Lord says something amazing about him. This ought to get our attention. No one born greater among men is greater than John. I don't know about you, but that gets my attention. That means I better listen to John the Baptist. And in fact, Jesus says he is the new Elijah. At the very end of Malachi, it promises that the new Elijah will come to prepare the way for the Christ. John is that new Elijah. You see, the law of Moses, the first five books of the Bible, and all the prophets have been preparing the way for the Christ. In a way, you can say John the Baptist is the bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He's the last prophet of the Old Testament and the first prophet of the New Testament. Yes, he was violently opposed. Every time he preached the truth, he was opposed. The kingdom of heaven is such that the first will be last, and the last shall be first. He called people to repent, and our old Adam does not want to be told to repent. He condemned their sin. He told the soldiers not to cheat people or abuse them. He told people, if you have one coat, give it to someone else who doesn't have one. He condemned their self-righteousness, their rebellion, and their sin. And he did it fearlessly. He condemned Herod, and he would condemn based on the Ten Commandments, and the law of God continues to condemn all of our sin. The law of God says, repent and admit your sin. If you've committed adultery, repent, that was a sin. If you've cursed somebody, repent, that was a sin. If you stole, and if you're a thief, repent, you have sinned. If you have gossiped and coveted, repent, you have sinned. If you've had other gods before the Lord God, repent, you have sinned. The old Adam doesn't like to be told to repent. The old Adam says, who are you to tell me how to live? Well, John the Baptist doesn't care what you think. The law of God doesn't care what you think. The law of God is the law of God, and it does not change. The old Adam must, like Luther said, be hit over the head with a piece of wood to be called to repentance. All of us, as we came to the divine service, confessed our sin this morning, that we were sinners in thought, word, and deed, and deserve temporal and eternal punishment. But for the sake of Christ, we said, Lord, forgive. The work of John the Baptist goes on whenever the law is proclaimed fearlessly to our generation. And so the call of John the Baptist and his work for you and for me daily, repent. Secondly, however, we consider the work of Jesus, the Christ, and his atoning work. And this calls for faith. Jesus, the Christ, means he is the Messiah or the Anointed One. When Samuel anointed the young boy David to be king, he poured oil on him. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit at his baptism. Jesus is the Christ, and the proof of his identity and the evidence is in the works that he had done. Jesus doesn't come out and say, yes, I am the Christ. He gives the evidence to show that he was the Christ, the one who is to come. You see, the Jews had been waiting all since Genesis through the whole Old Testament, from the seed of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, then Judah, then David, then Solomon, and eventually through Joseph and Mary to Jesus. He is the one who is to come. What is the evidence for you and me that Jesus is the Christ? The Lord gives it. The blind receive their sight. Can you imagine what that would be like if you'd never seen and all of a sudden you could see? The lame start to walk. What if you've been crippled all of your life and now you could skip like a deer? The lepers are cleansed. What would it be like to have that horrifying skin disease and the Lord removed it? The deaf can hear. One man who had never heard in his whole life could suddenly hear everything. The dead are raised. He raised the widow of Nain's son. Astounding. And usually the people forget about the poor, but Jesus doesn't. The poor have good news preached to them. Blessed is the one who is not offended by Jesus. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the face of God in human form. The Father sent his Son from heaven to earth, his only begotten Son. You're never going to see the face of God by staring up into the clouds. The Almighty God is invisible to you. You can see the face of God through Jesus, the baby in the manger, but the man on the cross. the man standing by the empty tomb and ascending to the right hand of God, the man who put his hand on those who were sick and healed them, the man who calmed the seas so the seas raged no more. If you want to see God, you must see him through the face of Jesus alone. And he is the way back to the Father, which John prepared. There are so many words that are used in the New Testament about Jesus. He's the ransom payment to buy us back. He's redeemed us by his blood. He has saved us from hell. He is the sacrifice in our place. He's the high priest who is our mediator and our intercessor. He is the atoning sacrifice. For the one laid in a manger would be nailed to a cross and laid in a tomb and risen from the dead as Yeshua, Jesus, Savior. This is the face of God to you and me. And there's one more thing we know about Jesus. Not only is he the Christ and he's the face of God, he's also the coming judge, as James says. This Savior is the coming Lord. His second advent, James says, is at hand. The judge is standing right at the door. He comes in the name of the Lord, and the purpose of his coming is to bring his compassion and mercy for you. John calls you to repent. Jesus says, have faith in me. You know, depending on your perspective, you may or may not want to go before the judge. If you've done something wrong and you're about to be punished, you don't want to go before the judge. But if you are about to be acquitted, if your accusers are going to be thrown out of the room and you are innocent, you look forward to seeing the judge because you will receive justice and that which is fair. It's the same way when Christ comes. You know, in the vision of his coming in Matthew 25, when he comes with all the holy angels upon his throne and the trumpet call of God, the goats on the left are not happy that the judge has come. He says, depart from me, you wicked, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But the sheep are overjoyed that the judge has come. He says, come, you righteous, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. We were made righteous through holy baptism into the body of Christ crucified and risen. We receive his body and blood in Holy Communion. We are his children. We are his sheep. We look forward to the coming of the judge who will come in compassion and in mercy. So if John is the voice, if John is the one as the Baptist who prepares the way, if Jesus is the Christ, and if we have faith in him, what does it mean for you now to be blessed and remain in your faith until the day you die? Well, you are blessed. This is the Sunday of joy. The pink candle rejoicing in our shepherd is affirmed all through the Old Testament lesson today. You are blessed. You rejoice with joy and singing despite the afflictions that you have. You have the glory and majesty of the Lord. You are strengthened and you are strong. You don't have to have any fears or any anxieties, Isaiah said. You will be saved by God as we come to him through Jesus because we are walking on the way of holiness. The world is filled with darkness, but in Jesus we are walking on the way of light, the way of holiness. We are called the redeemed of the Lord and the ransomed of the Lord. We come with singing and everlasting joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall simply flee away and be gone. That is how blessed you are, even now. And because you are blessed, you are called to be steadfast and remain in the faith. Be patient, James says. Be like the farmer who has to await the early and the late rains and waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Establish your hearts. He says, don't grumble against one another. Look at the examples of suffering and patience with the prophets, especially Job. And you are blessed to remain steadfast, James said, in the true faith. So my friends, in conclusion, as we are approaching Christmas with repentant hearts, you know, we have to admit in a way, we are the blind and the lame and the leprous and the deaf and the dead and the poor. But in Jesus' incarnation and birth at Bethlehem and his death and resurrection at Jerusalem, he has come to us in word and sacrament and continues to come to you as you are baptized and absolved and hear Holy Communion. And we know that in the crucified and risen Christ, we will all be restored fully in heaven. We can see, we can walk, we are cured, we can hear, we are raised to life, we have good news preached to us. Rejoice, Gaudete, on this third Sunday of Advent. You've been prepared for the kingdom of heaven. Heed the word of John the Baptist to repent. Listen to Jesus, who says, have faith in me. And remain steadfast in your faith all of your life. John the voice, and Jesus the Lamb of God. And may we indeed heed the words of Jesus to hear him. To hear him with our ears, to hear him with our mind, and hear him with our heart. And heed the words of Jesus in Advent. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds and faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.